world to give us the ability to express what your goal is, to see what your goal is. You have a goal with us, and we want to see this goal so clearly before our eyes this morning. We pray that you would speak to us through your word, that our heart would really be filled with it. It's very important that we would always have the goal before our eyes. We've heard so much about suffering in the last couple of days. But one meeting, every meeting is better than the next, because it's very important for us to have the ultimate goal before our eyes. Even Abraham already saw the goal. It actually started with him. God called Abraham out of Chaldea, and in Hebrews we read that he was waiting for this. In Hebrews we see he was waiting for the city whose builder was God. Abraham had this goal before his eyes. And if we read in Hebrews 11, the witnesses of the new covenant, they had this goal very close before their eyes. And they were not afraid to suffer, but even accepted it with joy. And they did not want to escape suffering because they had the goal so clear before their eyes. And what is the goal? That's what we want to see in this meeting. In Isaiah 53, we saw that the Lord accomplished. He forsook, he left the glory of God and came to the earth and humbled himself and went through so many sufferings that we saw in such great detail. But he didn't just suffer for the sake of suffering. But from the very beginning, he was pursuing a goal, the goal of God. And this suffering is to bring forth something special. And we saw in the last meeting that chapter 54 shows us this. These sufferings have brought forth a wonderful fruit. Many children that are saved from death and from eternal damnation. But that's also not the goal. We just saw that the goal is not just for us to be saved, but it is for us to reign with Christ together on this earth, over this earth. But even that is not the only goal. We have to see that the Word of God shows us that God is a very great master builder. He created everything. He created the heavens, the entire universe. He created this earth. And He is a builder. And the entire scripture shows us God is always building something. At Noah's time, he built the ark. Actually, God built it. It was his plan. He just used Noah to execute it. He built the ark to save the people from judgment. Then he built the tabernacle and the temple. And there his people was to worship him, and he wanted to dwell among them. And today he's building the church. And in recent times we are emphasizing more and more not just the church, but we are emphasizing Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem that we see in Hebrews 12. So we can't just say we emphasize the church and that's what the Lord wants. But that's just a small aspect. Hebrews 12 shows us an entire list of the description of what God wants. And we emphasize Zion. Why do we talk about Mount Zion? Because that is where the authority comes from. That is where God reigns from. David conquered Mount Zion. And that's where the authority was. And today we should see Mount Zion because we are very close to the point that we should reign over the earth. And that's why we emphasize this Mount Zion. So we need a lot of boldness to use this word, to say Zion. Zion is very precious because in the time in which the Lord wants to reign through us is very close. Why do we emphasize Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem is the city in which God desires to be worshipped, where his people serve him and worship him as kings and priests. That's why we emphasize Jerusalem today, because this time is going to be fulfilled very soon. We see we are coming to the end of this age. God is continuing to build with us. So the church is just a very small aspect of all this. The bride of Christ is very precious. All these things are very important. And then we see the city, the New Jerusalem, very precious. In Isaiah 54:11, we can read it together. 54:11 and 12. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, verse 13, and great shall be the peace of your children. And 14, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Amen. Here we see a result. In verse 11, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted. But then there is a result. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. So God desires to build something. And that which he's building is, of course, glorious. God is using the best building material. He's not someone that will settle for building materials that don't correspond to him, but that which he builds has to be of the same exact material that he himself is. So we can read Revelation 21 in this regard, because that corresponds to what it says here in Isaiah 54. Let's read Revelation 21, verses 2 and 3. What did John see in Revelation 21? Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And then also verses 10 and 11. And he brought me, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Amen. And verses 18 and 19. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, verse 21. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Such a wonderful city. We have to see the city as John also saw it. It's so clear that the goal has to be before our eyes. Otherwise, we cannot reach the goal. Otherwise, sooner or later, we'll give up. But God has to inscribe the city on our heart, and for this, He really has to give us revelation. This chapter 21 is so precious. We can say that this city is described in such a precious way, with so many precious materials, pure glass, gold, and so many different precious stones. Everything shines and is transparent. There is nothing that is not precious. It's really pure. I don't know, I can't express it. There's nothing in the city that does not match God, that doesn't correspond to Him. It's truly perfect. And that's what this word wants to show us. It is precious. Light is shining everywhere. And we have to see that we are this building material. God wants to build the city with us. We have to be this material of which the city is built. God is not going to go just wherever and gather any old materials, but He has called us. He has called us as living stones. We are the ones out of which God wants to build this Jerusalem. We have to see this, and this has to impress us. Have you ever thought about this? That we are precious stones. So many precious stones are described here. Sometimes when I look at my own condition, I do not see much of these precious stones. But here we see God is building the city with such precious stones. And we are these precious stones. And if we see this, then we understand why we have to undergo such a process. Because how does a precious stone come to be? To see that a precious stone begins as nothing. It's just dirt. It's just a rock. So precious stones are like coal. And if you put your hands on it, then you have soiled, dirty hands. That's how it is. And if you actually, when you touch coal, you have to put on a suit and some gloves and even a mask. It's not something that is glorious in any way. That's actually the original material or the source of a precious stone. So why do we emphasize this? Because it shows our condition. That's exactly how we are. Our situation, our condition is not good. A few verses show this very clearly.
Vielleicht gut ist, wird zu sehen. Römer 3 schreibt zum Beispiel,
Romans 3, it says, it's actually also a quotation,
auch nicht einer.
There is not one righteous, no one.
Sie sind alle abgewichen und taugen in alle seinen Sünden. Da ist keiner, der Gutes tut, auch nicht einer. Und wir haben alle gesündigt, steht in Vers 23.
Amen. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. That is our condition as man. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. So this is our condition, and out of this condition he wants to transform us into precious stones and to build a glorious, wonderful city in which he can dwell, and that really corresponds to his nature. So we see that's a huge discrepancy. And God is able to create such wonderful, precious stones with such a beginning material. And how do precious stones come to be? They come to be deep in the earth, deep down in the earth, and it takes a long time. I don't know exactly how long it takes to create a perfect precious stone, but what we can say is that what we do know is that it requires much heat, very high temperature and very high pressure. Job already said this in Job 28, that food comes out of the earth, but under the earth it is burning hot. Job 28, that shows that where there's pressure and where there's heat, that is where a precious stone will be created. 28, Job. So God has a wonderful goal with us. He wants to build this wonderful city, so we should not fear the suffering and this pressure. And in Romans, in Revelation 21, we see so many wonderful, precious stones, and not one is like the other. Shows us that we are not all the same, but we are different. Praise the Lord for this. And the Lord is expressed through us in different ways. These precious stones don't all shine in the same color. They don't all reflect the light in the same way. But when the light shines into each of them, each one is different. And we also see that among us today. The Lord did not make each one of us identical. We are all different. So we can express the Lord in different ways. How glorious! The Lord is so great. He must have so many precious stones to be fully expressed. And that's how you see the whole wonderful city. So many aspects of our Lord. That shows us that not every precious stone receives or requires the same treatment. The precious stones are... It's really an art, a great art to deal with, to treat precious stones. Even after a precious stone has been mined and you can see that it's a precious stone, it first has to be polished so that it can really express and reflect light. So in this we can see how the Lord is dealing with us in many different ways. He has a very specific goal with each one of us. He already has predestined this brother, Jonathan, as a precious stone. You are a precious stone. We are already built into the New Jerusalem, certainly, if we have received the Lord. We are for the Lord. We are purchased, redeemed for the Lord. We are redeemed for the Lord to serve Him and to be there as a king, a royal priesthood, but we are also redeemed to be built into this city, this New Jerusalem. And so we have to see that we are surely built into this New Jerusalem. Each one of us is a precious stone that is built up into the city, integrated into the city. This is really precious. We have to think about this. Consider it, that we are precious stones built into the city. How do we see this? See, the Lord Himself had such a burden. We saw that He left the glory and suffered, endured all these sufferings, not for Himself. He was already in the glory, but He did it just for us. For our sake, He suffered. And why? Because so that we can be perfected in the end. And we see this even with Aaron, this high priest, picture of Christ, who had the precious stones on his breastplate, and he carried these precious stones on his breastplate. And we see that how Aaron is carrying, bearing these precious stones upon his breast, on his heart to God. That shows that in God's view, we are already the precious stones. Otherwise, Aaron would not be carrying these precious stones on his breastplate. That shows that in the eyes of the Lord, we are already perfected. There is something already there. That's how the Lord sees us, and it helps us to also have this view. In God's eyes, we are already perfected, and He sees us as perfected stones. He already has this goal before His eyes. And we also have to have this goal in view. And for this, we all require different or distinct treatment. So precious that the Lord bears us upon His breast, as we also can see in Hebrews. Therefore, He is able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to God through Him, because He is always interceding for us. This shows what a burden the Lord has for us. This is His goal for us. It is His goal to perfect us. That is God's task, the Lord's task. That is what the Lord sent Him for, to perfect us, to bring us to perfection. And the Lord wants to do this, and that's why we read here in Isaiah 54, what does He do with these stones? He is putting these precious stones together. He's laying them with colorful gems to show them in an even more beautiful way. This is so precious. He really has done everything. To perfect us. And it's also good for us to see how precious we are to the Lord, that we can see one another this way also. If we see that we all are precious stones that the Lord has already perfected, then that also has to have an effect in our heart, the way that we are, that we behave with one another, that we treat one another, that we would not despise one another, but that we would really, yeah, treat each other like precious stones. If I had a precious stone, I would really care for it, and I would not despise it or take it for granted, but I would really esteem it highly. I think that makes sense. But how do we deal with one another? How do we treat one another? How is our attitude toward one another? We have to change our mindset here. We really have to see each other as precious stones, precious before God. They're not our precious stones. They're God's precious stones. Okay, if it were my precious stones, I can do what I want. But if they are God's precious stones, the brothers and sisters precious before God. Every single one who is here was redeemed by the Lord. He wants to build us together into a city. So we need such a burden. In the end, we'll see together, we will all be built up together into this wonderful city. That has to move our heart in the way that we treat one another and how we behave. In a way that really corresponds to and matches the Lord, that we would stand for His will. Just as the Lord gave us this example, that we would also intercede and pray for one another, to bear one another, that we have a burden that we would all be transformed. Not to be jealous, not to criticize one another, but to see all the positive things that the Lord wants to accomplish with us. Desire that each one of us would be perfected. That is a wonderful aspect that we can see in this. And there's something special about the city which no longer has any lampstands. Revelation 21. There is no need of sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. Revelation 21:23. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And this is very precious. So imagine many precious stones or glass. The New Jerusalem is light and gold. Also in Revelation 22, verse 5. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know, with even the most precious stone, you don't see it, you don't recognize it unless a light shines through it, and it reflects and refracts light. Then you see this wonderful color and the spectrum of light and color. Without light, none of this is evident. And without light, glass doesn't help you. You can't see through it. In the most precious materials, gold, that mirrors gold, you know, pure gold is like a mirror. If gold is really pure through very great heat, yeah, gold is refined through very high heat. I don't know how many degrees, but very hot. It is refined, and all the impurities are taken out, and then you have pure gold. And this is a repetitive process. And then when it's really pure, it's like a mirror, so pure. But without light, none of this is worth anything. And it shows that a wonderful principle, that we are all there for the glory of the Lord. We are not here to seek our own glory. We do not have our own glory. A precious stone does not have its own glory. The glory is that the light shines through it and is refracted. And that is also the Lord's glory. We are redeemed by the Lord for the glory of God. God has gained us for His glory, to express His glory. This is precious. And when we see this picture, then everything in us that's still seeking our own desires will be dealt with, because we'll see there is nothing better. So we should really concentrate on seeking the glory of the Lord. And the Lord Himself also did this. Everything He did was to glorify the Father, he never sought his own glory, even when he was among men. He was nothing, but he expressed God. And we see this in the New Jerusalem, in this perfect city. It really expresses God's nature and his pure nature. And that's what we should learn already today. Because today we are building this Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. We have to learn to build it in such a way that God would really shine and be expressed. Paul also had this attitude. In Philippians, Paul said that everything he does, he does so that God will be highly exalted, be it in through life or death. No matter what phase we are in, we need this attitude as Paul had it, and surely all, and as the Lord had it, and surely all the apostles had it, that everything I do, whether in life or in death, is for the glory of God. And we also see something else in regard to this wonderful New Jerusalem. Everything that man had done until that point, so much effort, so much energy, even the earth that God has created, nature that is so wonderful, all of it is passing away. It's all passing away, it's all temporary. But this city is eternal because it is made of a material that is not passing away. We know that everything must be shaken so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. Therefore, because you have received an unshakable kingdom, let us hold fast. Through which we serve God acceptably. Amen. With fear and trembling, because God is the consuming fire. So we see the material out of which all the materials of which the New Jerusalem is built are fire resistant, because they've already gone through fire and even were created by fire. They are, so to speak, the end product of fire. So it cannot be shaken. It cannot be destroyed. And that's what God needs. Yeah, the Lord has to build such an unshakable kingdom with us. We also see this in Corinthians. Where it speaks of the fire. Yeah, the Lord is the foundation. And we all stand upon the same foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built, in 1 Corinthians 3 we see that you can build of gold, silver, precious stones, you can also build of wood, hay, and straw, and God will test the material with which we are building. Verse 12, and you see here that we will be tested. It will be tested what portion of us is of Christ and what is of ourselves. Everything that is ourselves, our flesh, our fallen soul life, is wood, hay, and straw. But what is God in us, gold, silver, and precious stones, that is what Christ has worked in us. When it is tested by fire, when it is burned, it will be revealed. And today God is already testing us through suffering to show us Here you've got some wood, some hay, some straw. He's giving us light to burn this away so that the Lord can gain something. That's one aspect that we should want to experience today through the sufferings. But there's also another aspect. When the Lord returns, He will test us all. All of us who have received the Lord, all of us who stand upon this foundation, all of us that stand upon this foundation will be tested by fire. And then the question is, how have you built? Have we gone through suffering today? Have we accepted the fiery trial, and has something of Christ been constituted in us? Is it gold, silver, and precious stone? Then we will be proven when the Lord returns, and then we can reign together with the Lord on this mountain. We can enter into His glory and into the wedding feast. And the Lord shows us this in many different places in the Word. For example, this parable of the 10 virgins, there are 5 virgins who pass the test when He returns, and there are 5 who do not. Or the field, 2 are working. They're both working, and one is proven and the other is not. Almost in every gospel, the Lord gives us such a parable. There is a difference among Christians. Some Christians prove themselves today, and when the Lord comes back very soon, they are proven, and others are not. And if we look at this heavenly Jerusalem at the very end in Revelation 21, we will see that all Christians, all who have received the Lord, will be built into it. They will all be precious stones, every single one. Everyone who has received the Lord will be a precious stone in the very end. God will accomplish it with everyone. He said it. In whom I have begun a good work, I will also complete it. And that shows that we all will be built into the city in this New Jerusalem in such a precious way. So the question is, how will we reach this goal? On the one hand, as we've just seen, if the Lord is coming very soon, if we've already seen at the beginning of the conference, will we be proven, will we have gained the right material at the time when He returns? If we've not gained it, then the scripture shows us, for example, in 1 Corinthians 4, then there will be 1,000 years of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And in these 1,000 years, the Lord will give those who are not ready so many situations that they will be proven and that they will be refined. So today for us the question is, do we see the goal today? Do we accept the suffering, the correction, and the chastening of the Lord today so that we can be ready when the Lord comes again? Or are we not willing, not prepared, and must instead be perfected and justified by the Lord in this 1,000-year period? Then we won't have a choice. During that time, we will have to cry out to the Lord. Today we have the choice. I can decide myself, do I come to the Lord, do I cry out to Him, or do I withdraw, do I resist? But if I see the goal of the Lord, that He wants to perfect us today as this wonderful heavenly Jerusalem, to build us into this new Jerusalem, that's God's actual way. That's what He desires. But because God can't force us, there is also this other way. This is not really what the Lord desires, but it's because we have such hardened hearts and are rebellious. That's why God had to judge us and do put another way for us to reach the goal, but it's not actually his way that he desires. Malachi said, who can withstand when the Lord appears? For he is the like the fire and like lie. That's what the Lord wants to accomplish today, that we will be built in into the city. If not now, then forcibly later. Malachi 3, verse 2. Yeah, who can endure the day of his coming and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. If we see all this, it needs to be an encouragement to us. That we would not draw back, as we also heard this morning, as the brother spoke about. The Lord has to break us. He has to make us contrite and break us so that he can bring forth something new, something precious. And that's only possible through suffering. There is no other way. I've enjoyed the Lord a lot, and the enjoyment of the Lord is really precious and important to us, important for us. But as we already heard on this conference, if we only enjoy, in the end we will be illegitimate. Parents can confirm this. If you only let the child enjoy, 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 what kind of condition will this child be in? It will be illegitimate, not to be intolerable, and it will all malice and wickedness will be expressed through this child. And the Lord is therefore not just enjoyment for us. He's not just joy, love, peace. I've really enjoyed the Lord a lot. And the Lord has really appeared to me and has showed me a lot of himself that made me steadfast and drew me to him. But if he has not worked his righteousness in me, then in the end we will be puffed up, we will be proud. You see, in Laodicea it said they received much from the Lord, but then they became proud, puffed up, very fallen even. And it shows us God cannot give us only enjoyment, but he must also break us. He must break us apart, shatter us, so that he can build something new. And I've also experienced this a little bit. The Lord has shattered me and broken me through many different situations. We have sufferings. We've talked about sufferings in detail, but through all this, something precious comes into being. In the end, the Lord gives us the true enjoyment that we can taste. But through this being broken and shattered, what comes after is really something precious, true enjoyment, true joy. And this is the way the Lord is going with us today. And that has to be an encouragement to us. But we see in Isaiah 66, I will look upon him who has a broken and a contrite heart. Why? Because through this, the glory of the God can be constituted in us. Yeah, this pride in us has to be broken. this poor and contrite spirit is what pleases the Lord. Our heart, we should never harden our heart. When the Lord deals with us, let us keep our heart, make our heart soft. I want to mention this again. Before I was humbled, Psalm 119. Before I was proud, but then I was humbled. It's good for me that I was humbled, that I might know your instruction. Psalm 119, 71. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. So let us not cast off our boldness, not draw back, but have this precious New Jerusalem in view that the Lord wants to build in us. And one last point I want to say. In all these things, in this preparation, it's important for us to run toward this goal together. It is not a solitary way that we are going, but it is a way that we have to go together. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, we see we are all members, especially when we're now speaking about suffering. We should not be indifferent to how others are doing, because it says in verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We rejoice if you see the glory of the Lord being expressed in the others, but we also should bear one another in the same way when we suffer. The Lord is really sovereign. He speaks the word about suffering exactly in the time where we recognize that among us there is increased suffering. The Lord is really sovereign. He brings precisely the right word, but he also shows how we should deal with these situations. We should bear one another in love, and that's how we can gain the Lord. In this we can gain the Lord. We are members of one another, and we bear and care for one another. If I don't have any suffering, I can still bear the suffering of the others. I still want to learn this. I'm not used to it yet, but I want to learn it. And it says that so you will fulfill the law of the Lord. The Lord carried not his own burden, but he carried our burden, so that we can ultimately be built into this New Jerusalem. And in the same way, we should also bear one another's burdens, suffer for one another. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord, transform us all into precious stones. Amen, that we can be built up and to be prepared for your coming.